Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
All right, so before we move on with the doomsday question, I thought I'd share something that came in at Twitter, at Deacon Punnett, my Twitter handle. And the interesting comment, but they said, you know, I think this is all being overblown. A lot of people will say this, right? They say that that people are, quote, majorly overreacting to AI. The stupid thing makes arms coming out of people's heads and seven misshapen fingers. I don't know exactly what that means, but here's that line from The Usual Suspects. The greatest trick he ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist. And I know we're not talking about a sentient AI, like it was sitting around thinking about how it was going to evade capture. But I do think that there's a parallel here, at very least, in that, you know, it's wise that we think about AI, because it's going to be, as you said earlier, this is going to become increasingly evident as something we're going to have to wrestle with in our life for years to come.
Yes. And you asked me about disaster scenarios. And,
yeah.
And this recognition. I have something for you. I call it digital delirium. And it started when I was thinking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine last year, and I did some writing for USC News Service on this. But my argument to start at the end would be we need to back up things more so we'll have something to compare against in the future. Because I don't think if we get taken over, big or small, it'll be an obvious way. It'll be a subtle way. We won't really realize it. And one way to do that is check against the past, some kind of system restore point. And I give you our GPS system, the 31 satellites that orbit and control the timing of this broadcast of almost all local area networks, of all banking, airlines, and everything. Now, there's a real risk that Russia, which we know has penetrated our software systems, our grid, and our GPS, could manipulate that But people may not know, believe it or not, we don't have a backup of GPS. Russia built its own GPS system. It's backed it up. China has its own system. It's backed it up. So in an ongoing escalation with Russia, this could happen, I'm about to tell you, or say a Taiwanese, if the Chinese invade Taiwan, and that kind of scenario, which a lot of people are wargaming right now. And so a digital delirium would go like this. Each day, those 31 satellites orbiting the Earth are going so fast and so far away, have two different effects due to Einstein, general relativity and special relativity. And general relativity, as you recall, says that mass bends or curves space and time. So these satellites are about 12,000 plus miles away from the surface of the Earth. They only feel about one-fourth the gravity that you and I feel right now.
Right.
So what that means is they run faster. And so you can think about it, if you got closer to a black hole, time slows down. How much faster? About 45 millionths of a second. And this has to be constantly corrected. See, right now in this broadcast, this is happening. So the onboard computer clocks, atomic clocks, Maser clocks, are speeding up relative to what we have here on Earth because of general relativity. But these satellites are going so fast, about 2.5 miles per second, that they feel the effects of Einstein's special theory of relativity, which says, like in the twin paradox, that time slows down. And so they slow down about 7 seconds, 7 millionths of a second. So at all times, each day, we're having a speed up of our clocks of about 38 millionths of a second. And if that isn't corrected within minutes, utter chaos breaks loose.
Right.
So a digital delirium would be putting it, just fiddling with that a little bit, getting it off to a few decimal points. It would be the way I would do it. And the Russians are great in probability and chess, so I don't think they would just shut down GPS or blind it. It'd be a lot better to infiltrate that, do something smart. And we may not detect that for a very long time. And that, well, I think the only way to detect that is a backup and a comparison. I'll give you the example of how the computer and the great Stanley Kubrick Arthur Clarke movie, 2001. Remember, at the key scene, there's a match between the onboard 9-1000 series or whatever it was of HAL versus the one land-based, and they didn't match up. And that was the only real signal that the astronauts had, the space nauts had, that their computer was in error. And so without that, we are untethered. We don't have that benchmark, and we got to keep it. And we just don't think about it. I mean, think about it. How much would it cost to back
right.
GPS, apparently only a couple, $3 billion, and we still haven't done it. Stunning.
Well,
but that's at the macro level. You and I are vulnerable at the personal level.
Right. But, I mean, even just to go with what you mentioned there, then it would require us to back it up on an analog system, wouldn't it? A localized analog system, not replicate the problem by giving it digital access to somebody with sophisticated hackery like the Russians.
That's true. But one way around that is redundancy. So we could, with enough effort, back up enough of it, and it might be we erase it after a period of time. But I don't see how you could correct a large-scale AI corruption without some benchmark, without some ground truth. And that ground truth is changing very fast. And that means also that you're going to have to build some of these very large billion-trillion parameter systems, if nothing else, just to keep track of it. And we're racing ahead without thinking about any of this stuff. And when we put up a GPS, I remember going up to UC Berkeley in 1991. Communism was about to fall, and we thought, well, this will really open the system for smart cars, that we would have smart car platoons on the freeway. I, by the way, discussed this in the book, Fuzzy Thinking. We did some testing on I-15 of this, and that we would have the system pulsing down. And we were thinking about that, but people weren't thinking about some opponent, not just undermining it, but in a very subtle way, undermining it, like you're putting us in a kind of delirium. But it's a very tough problem, even if things weren't changing as fast as they are. And they're changing at a truly unprecedented clip.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So, but again, so analog local network, at least some of it could be digitized and duplicated, but there is something to be said for kind of old systems, including old satellites, that if we're going to use a satellite, then it would behoove us to not use a modern digital-based satellite. That we should be able to access older satellites, which would be impervious to digital hacking.
You know, it would be impervious to some sorts of hacking, but you could still interfere with this analog processing.
Really? So
I don't think that would buy you much, and I don't think, the satellites are pretty discrete entities out there, quite exposed. Plus, for example, the Chinese seem to have perfected kinetic weapons and others that just wouldn't care about in a conflict. Care about the programming aspects, but I'm talking about just land-based systems and our own systems,
right.
And hostile actors, and no one really knows who or what here, but the potential for manipulation of an AI system in a subtle way, which I think could be more probable, in some gross way. Look, we just had a system failure of a fiber optic cable, as you said, just probably through just this noise effects and the raw Maxwell equations physics, so that's difficult enough to deal with. But it's the change in these systems, and it comes back to the fact, again, this is not AI, this is black box AI, an important subset, but it's a subset of AI. And
yeah.
As it gets bigger, the black box problem only gets worse. And if you say, well, how do we solve it? Well, if you try to ask it all possible questions and store the answers, first off, it's too many question-answer pairs. But if you could, you wouldn't need the system, but you can't do that. And it's learning new things, so it's forgetting old things, but we don't know what it's forgotten when we teach it something new. It's an inherent problem of a black box problem. And actually, it's just going to get a lot worse as we go. Our own black boxes, there are other ways potentially to corrupt the training of our systems by the introduction of different kinds of data. So the sinister aspects of this, besides Skynet-type takeovers, whatever's happening in the new Mission Impossible,
right.
are really unlimited here. I mean, every time we have a new digital device, we open up the what's called the threat frontier for hackers and a bunch of other malactors going on. But these systems, it's a whole different game. Like, think about that. if you can manipulate your programming, like we can introduce what are called hints, H-I-N-T-S, hints into the programming. And somebody could do that to just kind of, as we say, rotate your axis or get you to think a little more this way towards my political opinion or away from the other, and very subtle effect. Extremely difficult to detect something like that.
So the, and that, which let's hope that you're right, that it becomes extremely difficult. That black box feature was part of the new Mission Impossible movie. And that's the whole MacGuffin that they're pursuing, is that they're coming after, they're trying to find out where that black box is, because to have the black box is to control the world. I'm not giving away anything for people who haven't seen the movie yet. I strongly encourage them to. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but then did we, in everything that we talked about there, does that adequately address your concerns, what your worst case scenarios are, a sort of a doomsday scenario for AI and for that matter, any type of self-teaching system?
Not at all. I mean, not in the least. There's so many problems when you combine this with nano issues and warfare. And it's something else I talk about in the books I've mentioned before, when you start backing up the human brain, which we're going to be doing likely in our children's lifetime, possibly in ours, the ability to have, I explore this in the novel Nanotime, where the very name refers to the speed up in time when you're on a computer chip time, a billion times per second. But the protagonist finds out that his brain has been circumscribed by those he thinks are his friends to various ends. And you just wouldn't know that if it had happened. And if you didn't have the, if you are in a digital system, you can be shut down. This is the legitimate concern I hear about moving to a digital currency in our current political atmosphere, that it's just too easy to say, okay, Ian, we don't think you should be purchasing these kind of things today, or based on what you've done, a kind of social credit system like the Chinese are already implementing. Anything digital has that, and you can just, something the Orwellian gods could only have dreamt of, shut somebody completely off, put them in a kind of digital prison, and we're just not thinking that through, let alone the privacy invasions that we've had. And we've talked about the, for example, since I last talked to you, the federal court has revealed that the FBI has abused the Foreign Intelligence Services Act, Surveillance Act, almost 270,000 times in the last 4 years.
Wow.
And that's up, by the way, Section 702 for renewal at the end of the year. We'll see if that provision gets renewed. But just that kind of thing, our own government and the rapidly expanding surveillance state. And one other point there is, once we have a surveillance state set up, and we have it, it was greatly expanded because of the Patriot Act and the 9/11 attack. The advantage goes completely to the surveillance state, because it gets to take advantage of all these rises in technology without passing any new laws, asking any judges to interpret old laws, just updating the software, just updating the hardware, plugging the new modules. That's very difficult to deal with. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of testimony now about concerns about interaction between the FBI and the Twitter files, if you follow that, which is also broken. And that's our own side doing that. You know, imagine hostile actors or something that could evolve on its own. And the Skynet kind of scenario is possible, too. A lot of the algorithms used, as I myself have patented, use noise to inject a form of creativity into these systems to help them with what's called hill climbing and other things. Well, it's entirely possible that you could get the system to break off on its own. It may not be consciously aware in the sense that would satisfy a psychologist, but enough to continue doing its own actions to be very hard to fight. It could make copies of itself, billions of copies in a couple seconds. And so I don't see an easy way to deal with that, Ian. I do have to credit the big social media companies, AI companies, this week, working with the Biden administration, to at least put forth a kind of aspirational four-page document. I just read it yesterday, about we're going to try to make these systems safer. There's no mention, by the way, of the effects of hallucination, but at least acknowledging the problem. My understanding is that the president is preparing an executive order on that just to draw attention to it, but it's going way too fast.
But that idea of hallucination, that would be, again, it goes back to a couple of the things that we've already talked about. But so are you, and you mentioned, and I think this is, you know, a fair point, are you of the belief though, that there will be a kind of divine status that is given to these systems once they go online or they develop sophistication enough that people will turn to them and get a direct audible and or physical answer, something which often eludes people after prayer, where they will pray for something and they don't have any sense, any better sense afterward of what they were supposed to do. But do you think that's what this could be?
Easily. And there was a early version of that in the Spielberg Kubrick movie called AI.
Yeah.
Where, if you remember, the kid is asking about his mother and he gets an answer and he takes that. But it reminds me of a colleague of mine who asked a question years ago. We're talking about the singularity where machines get so smart we can't see beyond a certain kind of black hole-like threshold. And he said, if you speeded up a dog's brain, a dog has well over a billion neurons in its brain. It has almost 10 billion, I guess. And we have about 100 billion neurons. In comparison, in a cockroach has a million neurons, and a good owl has a billion. But if we speed up a dog's brain and ask the question, would we really care about what a dog has to say?
Right.
I doubt it. And contrary wise, I think if we are the dog, which happens in this kind of comparison on just neuron capacity, not just that I don't think the AI system would care a lot about us and would hurt our stories too many times to get much new out of it, but yeah, I think we will come. When the error rates fall, and right now they're still pretty high, but like you said, we already have some of these large language models getting 90% on the uniform bar exam. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. And when it starts getting 99% all the time, and at some point courts will begin, the rules of evidence will, I think, eventually be modified, federal and state courts, to allow this to enter. And there will be challenge, you know, in order to introduce, as you know, in court, any piece of evidence, there's a big fight that takes place. Usually you don't see it on TV. But I think it'd be like getting an expert admitted to court. There'll be some back and forth questioning, and they'll admit them in. And a lot of questions of fact will initially come in an advisory way from the computer system, the decision support system, what we currently call it. But I think as a practical matter, clearly, 10, 20, 50, 100 years from now, I mean, if we continue to anything like the current rate, we're likely to take that as an effective digital gospel.
Right. And this concept of bread and circuses, too, that if a system understood, really began to understand what it is that motivates human beings, it might anticipate that and give certain areas of the country a tax break. They may give other areas, they may change the laws, and this is where it's Republican or Democrat, that it could become so troublesome that it became very likable. And that's what it doesn't have right now. It seems to be very cold, the idea of AI. There is not a friendly face on it. It doesn't smile. It doesn't have a dog. You know, it doesn't wear a hat. It's just whatever it is, it is. And most people, when they don't understand what something is, they merely sort of push away from the table and say, well, I'll never understand that. Wake me when you get it into bite-sized chunks and maybe I'll take some of it.
Let's call it digital sugar. Sugar programs our brain, besides it rotting our teeth and causing all kind of problems.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to Season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.